This is the Rob, Anybody, and Dawn Show. 3 decades of settling arguments like, is Sarah Jessica Parker a horse or not? You're welcome. And now back to Rad Radio.
A couple of emails, RAD at radradio.com. Well, technically, the first one is actually a text that came in from Gina, who runs Dogwoods Resort, who I
love Gina.
Referred to during the time 5-ish years ago, and my wife and I had to evacuate our house due to a power outage. And we were fortunate enough to be able to rush up to Dogwoods and drop the dogs off there and then spend the next few days in a hotel. But Gina wrote in and said, I'm listening to the show, and I can't tell you how many people I talked to after our evacuation, because she lives up in the Divide where Brandon grew up, kind of halfway between Sacramento and Reno. They get fires and all sorts of things there. She says, I can't tell you how many people I talked to after our evacuation who were not prepared. And that's the whole point of the disaster preparation classes that NorCal Gun Vault is doing throughout the month of May, 3 Wednesdays. You don't have to do all of them. You can look at them, pick one that looks right for you, and go to all of them. They're Wednesday nights. They're listed at NorCalGunVault.com. Had Eddie on talking about all of them. And Mike wrote in and said about the disaster preparation classes, is there any chance of a video recording the classes and letting us buy them online later? So Mike, Eddie and I and Brandon were actually talking after Eddie was on about that in a different way, and it wouldn't come in the form of the classes that are in May. So it kind of depends on how much you want to roll the dice. Do you want to hope that the disaster or whatever, man-made or otherwise, isn't going to happen until the summer? Or do you want to take the classes? Because we were talking about how Eddie was mentioning how cool it might be to just do a Rad Radio version of these classes, you know, shorten them a little, maybe not do 6 hours with all of us, but maybe do little mini versions and then turn them into videos that we would make available to you, like on the membership site or however we work out. But that would be after all of this. So you're looking at summertime. Yep. So eventually that might be an option. Not promising anything with everybody's schedules and the fact that we might not all be here at some point to actually enjoy that. That's why we had Eddie.
Well, I know there's also this part of me of like, do I want to survive whatever happens? You know, hey, take me home, Jesus. You know,
it's not like you have to actually take what you're taught and then implement it. You know,
right, that's true. You can decide.
Off camera,
you can decide.
Yeah, right. Off camera, we can have Eddie show you exactly where you put the pistol if you want to off yourself.
Oh my!
Man. Oh God! I don't know
off
about that.
Camera.
No,
come
I just want to. I came across a story. Was it last week or the week? Actually, it's every week. I feel like there is a new one up on the UK Daily Mail about how to survive nuclear war, and I'm sitting there going, I don't want to.
Yeah.
And it
no
even
thanks.
Says in the story, those that are alive will envy the ones that died. I'm like, yes, tell me how to perish. Where do I run straight to? I don't want to survive that.
Some of them.
Oh my gosh.
Some of them are the kind of thing where you're like, yes, of course. You know, fight is going to kick in over flight or freeze. We're going to get through this. Things like that. Some of them are like, as I mentioned before, no. No, I'm my wife and I, you know, if you have the opportunity, you're going to, you know, the fallout, the bomb has hit San Francisco and the cloud's coming or we're about to get hit or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You go out back and you have a wonderful glass of whatever. I mean, at that point, sobriety.
Right.
You know, Dawn's smoking cigarettes. You know, this is under the ideal situation. You have a few hours or whatever.
Yeah, you know what's coming.
You know what's coming. Yeah. And then the only bad part is you got to have, because you don't want to be around for the aftermath, you got to have the courage. And you got to put your dogs down humanely. And then I already know it's my job. I got to put my wife down.
Yep.
And then I got to do it. Okay, fine.
Yep,
see, because we've had these meetings and these talks and things like that.
Well, I appreciate you guys. If the ones that don't want to survive through this, who are going to end their lives, you leave it for the people who do want to survive. You guys are like little tokens of food for us to pick up.
Sure.
Go around and be like, hey, look at that. We can now eat the bodies.
Knock yourself out.
Not when we're full of nuclear waste. You know, that's of the nuclear fallout. Mm. That's one of the things, like all food will be contaminated, as will humans. Oh. I mean, it's going to be awful if it happens.
Look, if you're alluding to, Kyle, the scenario, for example, of like, let's say only a few major cities get bombed and it's clearly the start of World War III and things like that. Yeah, our bodies will be fine. The fallout takes a long time and depends on winds and things like that. I don't want to be around knowing that once we're dropping nukes on each other, that is the end. And that's why, and that's the way I hope I, you know, it would be. You have time to plan.
You never know. The radiation might be good marinade for human meat. You never know.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just hopeful that it's a biological thing, and maybe like some sort of zombie apocalypse. Because I've seen enough episodes of Last of Us and Resident Evil movies to know how to handle such things.
Good.
And I've seen enough of Last of Us to not want to be around for it. I used to watch. I don't think they have them on anymore, but like the Doomsday Prepper shows, and I always sat there in awe of the people that specifically were planning to survive nuclear holocaust. They've got the mass, they've got the gear, their bunkers are so far down below, and I'm sitting there going, what, why? And they never got into the psychology that, why do you really want to open your bunker at some point? I don't know when you decide when. I'm sure they have all the gadgets to if there's any, you know, because they're so into it. I'm like, what? They must want to be the person that's recreating humanity, right? And I'm like, no, thank you.
That's just it. We're going to come back and we're going to plant our seed and rebuild society.
Oh, man.
We got this email also, rad@radio.com, from Taylor.
Hi, Taylor.
Go back to the pressure cooker. We were talking about the number one most watched show this week on Netflix in America is called something, something jail and experiment. Do you remember what the name is?
I don't remember, but I just know it's jail. The experiment. No.
If Google it, Google Netflix jail experiment show, and you'll find the actual title.
It's right there. It's under the new shows released.
Unlocked, a jail experiment.
There it is.
And it's about the idea of this sheriff in Alabama who, or is it Arkansas? Doesn't matter.
No, it's one of those southern states.
who gives the inmates a lot of leeway under the guise of maybe the reason the recidivism rate is so high is because we treat them like such animals in jail, and we're not rehabilitating them at all. Oh, and they've never known any other way of life, and that's why they go out and they commit more crimes, et cetera. And Dawn was reinforcing that. And also, Dawn, of all people, mentioned that, guess what? Not everybody that's in jail is guilty. And should they be treated like animals to begin with? And I mentioned that no educated person, and that was the key word, and you have to want to be educated, and you have to not have bias and malice and things and such in your heart, argues with the fact that between historically 10 and 30% of people in jail or prison don't belong there for a variety of reasons. And that, of course, got this email that was inevitable. Says, I was wondering where Rob saw the percentage of innocent people to be as high as he says. Every time I've looked up the stat, it's a fraction of that. And he's right. If you just Google it, you'll get 2 to 4% is the answer. He says other websites go as high as 10%, but I've never found one that says 30%. I will answer you this way, Taylor. It has taken this country a long time to admit and embrace its mistakes and its biases and its endemic systems that have been in place since we created ourselves in 1787. The revolution was in 1776, but it took us a while to get to that constitution and such. And as we go back in history, we find more and more how the rate was so high as a result of all it took was, for example, and this is not the only example, there are many of them, and I'll give you another thing to think about. All it took was one white person to say, yes, I saw that black man raping that woman, and that black man was always convicted. And then we find out years later, no. And the DNA breakthrough of the last few decades is what's really shot the number up. But again, you have to be willing to open your mind, look at the studies, and accept the fact that we are a flawed nation and we make mistakes and we make predisposed conclusions. And that brings me to the other example. Back in the 90s. Now, look, we just did a 30-minute interview with Eddie from NorCal Gun Vault. Clearly, we fall on both sides of the political aisle depending on the situation. So just shut up. All right? I'm gonna be a lib turd here, even because I was a tiki torch holding white supremacist married to a black woman an hour ago interviewing a guy that owns a gun shop. Jeez. So now I'm gonna be a lib turd. Back in the 90s, the rallying cry of the conservative movement, that would be Republicans, right wingers, was these stats are ridiculous. 2 to 6% of the population in America are gay? I don't think so. This is the liberal media lying to you. We are not a hedonistic country. And I'm not, I mean, this isn't like a person. That was their battle cry throughout the 90s. A, because we had nothing else to worry about. Best decade of the last 50 years. And B, because President Clinton was talking at the time about don't ask, don't tell. Just let gay soldiers serve. We're not going to ask you. It just stop. Oh, my God. We're going to. Here we are, 30 years later, at a time when, lo and behold, it's safe, or much safer, if not totally safe, and accepted to openly be gay and so many other things. My God, transgender in the 90s? You would have been shipped off somewhere and never seen again. In the 1990s.
Yes.
Lo and behold, here we are in 2023, 2024. The stats are as high as a quarter of us identify as some form of bisexual, bicurious, heterosexual, homosexual, etc. Well, is that because we all just decided to start? Is that pornography? Shut up. It's because situations changed and the ability of people to be honest about situations and come out, etc. That's how I would answer you, Taylor. If you want to truly learn about this, the studies are out there. They're embraced by both sides of the political aisle now, thankfully. Not the wackos on either side. And it speaks to the whole point of the country. We are constantly in pursuit of creating a better perfect union. We're not a perfect union, never have been. The idea is to keep trying.
It's good that people are more open about being, you know, sexually open about their preferred gender, because, I mean, look at Pedro Pascal. I mean, yes, Zaddy.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, there's a few of them out there. He's one of them that make me go.
It wiggled.
Maybe.
Going back to when you're talking about how far we've come but still have a ways to go, and the things that we're continuing to learn about how unfair the justice system, you know, has been, even though it is the greatest in the world. This is something, what I'm about to say, has been very hard for me to ever, like, speak out loud because of my love of law enforcement and support of law enforcement. I've never allowed myself to speak this, but, you know, when and I'm not saying it's this way now, I really don't know. All I know is my experience when I was doing drugs at age 12 and 13. We lived in a predominantly Hispanic community, and there was also down the way a bit, a lot of Hispanic and Black gangs, and we would buy from both, right? And so I'll tell you this. Anytime cops were involved in anything, a pullover that I'd be involved in, you get pulled over, or if they're at a house for a party, they never once questioned or talked to me, but everyone of color was absolutely immediately talked to. And I don't, like, it's not, I'm not conscious of that at the time, right? I'm just thinking, how lucky am I? Like, oh my God, I'm so lucky. Oh my gosh, I'm so lucky. And so I now when I flash back to that, I'm like, was I lucky, or is that because I was white, right? And that was my luck. And I'm not saying that happens. I don't know what happens today.
Oh, I do.
I don't know if that's the same situation. I'm saying that if this is something that goes way back, this was back in the 80s, early 80s. So,
I mean, in certain places, if you're in the certain wrong parts of the country, being married to a Black woman, nothing's changed in those areas. Is it as prevalent? No, but it still exists. Believe me, I've seen it firsthand. We got this email, totally changing subject, from Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
I don't know why I'm the one getting yelled at about this. Says, hey, Rob, God damn it. I woke up at 3 a.m. this morning to tinkle, and I would normally fall right back to sleep. But after Kyle's new food news theme song suddenly popped into my head, and I kept hearing Kyle's voice singing the off-key line of, dude, seriously, dude, you're eating too much food.
That's not how I sound.
The singing's the best.
It's so good.
Oh, so here's why I'm getting blades. So thanks to Rob's whopping 5 pounds of weight gain, I'm going to be dragging my ass all day.
So is Rob.
Can you even wipe?
We have a lot of ass.
Some food news now.
Food is what makes Rob super fat.
I'm not fat.
He's eating mayonnaise straight from the vat.
No.
Look at
dude, for real. That's one too many meals. Soon your pants will not fit your waist.
I had 5 meals yesterday.
Dude, seriously, dude, you're eating way too much food. It's time for Rob to start a diet.
Not quite yet. By the way, a couple notes. First of all, food news is news about food.
Yum.
Secondly, if you're a Rad TV viewer, you just saw the premiere of the new food news visual aid to the theme song. None of those pictures are real. Those are all.
Don't deny it.
Don't be coy.
Come on. Own it.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a belly like
You're
that, all
right? You're flabulous.
Again.
Fat is the new thin.
176 pounds at 5'11". Can we all just please, for now?
Your leg.
That's our latest information. All right, just a couple quick notes. Dr. Pepper has a new flavor coming out just in time for summer. The flavor will be sold in 12-ounce, 12-packs, and also 12-ounce bottles, the company said. And it brings together the perfect combination of the original 23 Dr. Pepper flavors, meaning there's 23 flavors in every Dr. Pepper. And it has a delicious, creamy finish that pairs perfectly with a hot summer day. Now, I've really gotten into, especially since my sobriety, flavored sparkling waters, flavored sodas. We've talked about a few of them, especially that probiotic stuff, things like that. And I love Dr. Pepper, and I don't need this.
No?
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, I'm hesitant already because Dr. Pepper in and of itself, it's fine. It's amazing. What more do you need to this?
Not because I don't like what they're pairing it with. I just don't need Dr. Pepper Creamy Coconut.
Oh!
Which will be available beginning May 1st at retailers nationwide. Dr. Pepper proudly proclaims, and I would like to answer them prematurely by saying there's a reason for this, quote, "It's the only coconut cream flavored dark soda on the market." Yes, there is a reason for that.
It'd be really good. I mean, coconut's not even that bad.
You don't know that. You haven't had it yet.
I'm assuming. Yes, you're right. Yes, assuming. But coconut water is not that bad. It's got a little hint of sweetness to it.
God, no.
You hate coconut water? It has a little hint of like cereal in it. It's not bad. And it'd go well with prunes.
I like coconut because I'm old.
That was a random shot.
Dr. Pepper is primarily prune flavor. I know you all say it's 23.
Kyle still hasn't got it in his head that I like being old. It's like not a put down, dude. I'm not one of those people holding on to their youth.
By the way, I hate prunes and I love Dr. Pepper. That's a terrible comparison.
But like, the coconut, I like coconut, like Kyle likes coconut, but not coconut. Like, sometimes for me, and what I'm envisioning with this soda, coconut can easily turn into the coconut lotion you use, right? It can taste very like that, and not that it should be a food. It's very hit or miss and hard to accomplish, and coconut cream is exactly what it reminds cream that I'm rubbing on my body, like lotion, the thicker cream, that's how it's going to taste.
Yeah, I like the coconut cream pies. I like I do like coconut flavored candies and things like that. Like the cookies. The Samoas from the Girl Scout cookies. Sure. They got the, God, so good. But the thing is with the Dr. Pepper, and I mean, coconut water in general, it tastes like baby batter. And especially when you get those real natural ones, it's got like the chunky stuff.
Oh, those are the best.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, gross.
Oh, I love them. And I can't wait because I know a lot of like Thai soups are made with coconut. So if you have like a Thai coconut curry soup with this Dr. Pepper,
it
might pair amazingly.
With the Dr. Pepper.
Okay, all right.
I'll
tell him
I'll try it. I like that.
Okay.
It'll pair.
Okay.
He's like a coconut yamane whatever they call
it. Here's one you didn't mention, Brando. I like coconut shrimp.
Oh,
a lot of fish.
Oh, so good.
Yes.
Which brings us to the tumultuous few years for Red Lobster. You may want to go while you can.
What? Wait a minute. The Red Lobster's where I had my first drink legally in a bar.
The restaurant closed 8 locations in 2023 and has just reported a $22 million loss for a year.
What?
In 2023. Now, while yes, the pandemic and labor costs are part of the culprit of Red Lobster's declining profits, we go back to the lesson that Burger King learned the hard way. It takes one bad decision to send your company spiraling to the point of, are we going to make it? Burger King has closed hundreds of locations around the world, all because they decided to go all in on the impossible Whopper, Beyond Whopper, the meat, non-meat product.
Caca.
Total failure.
Yeah.
Because nobody wanted it.
Are you sure it wasn't their terrible jingle? BK.
Yeah.
Have it your way.
Because that didn't exist until a year ago, which is actually what caused my drinking to go through the roof. I've identified that. I'll be filing a lawsuit against Burger King now that my therapists have all agreed. Yes, that's totally legit, Rob. What did Red Lobster in? is their idea to do the $20 ultimate endless shrimp deal.
Oh, no.
Where you could eat as much shrimp as your heart desires, and you could choose from 7 different shrimp dishes in the world's most obese nation.
Yeah.
And you could choose a side, and you could order up to 3 dishes at once and keep doing so for as long as you were able. Oh, and Red Lobster's most popular dish, the Cheddar Bay biscuits, were included.
Oh, I love the Cheddar Bay biscuits.
Yeah, okay, thank God they sell the packets in the store.
Yeah.
Because if we lose Red Lobster, I bet we'll still get that.
Somehow, the chain lost $11 million in the third quarter of last year just on that promotion.
So the accountant didn't run the numbers on that, and like the cost of shrimp and how much they're actually going to be feeding people?
I would guess. I can only guess. They underestimated the fact that this is America.
Mm. Yep.
I wasn't joking, obviously, about being the most obese nation in the world. And anytime you're telling me, as an American, to eat all I can eat, I'm going to do that.
We no longer deserve to have those type of deals or buffets anymore. We used to be more of a civilized, right, society where you'd have a few take advantage. I couldn't imagine now. One of my first jobs in restaurant was at Golden Corral, and it's like a Sizzler. They have like the buffet and all that. I literally never once had to kick someone out because they were taking advantage of being there for hours and all day. I would have met. Did I hear stories of that happening? Yes, it was once in a blue moon, and I worked there for years, right? I would imagine now in a buffet, it's a weekly thing where you got the family or the dude or the girl, hold up, staying there for hours.
4 plates in front of them.
Yes, God.
Man, I really wish I took advantage of this promotion, because every time I go to Red Lobster, I usually get the steak and the lobster tail. I try to go all out, but I didn't realize it came with all those sides and everything. I thought it was going to be like they cut you off after a certain point. Now that you're reading the story, I feel like an idiot.
Now you get to take advantage? You feel like an idiot?
The Cheddar Bay biscuit.
They've raised the price to $25, but we're about to get first quarter results. And I mean, the writing is on the wall on this. This is why Bloomberg reported this yesterday. Red Lobster is considering bankruptcy in hopes of restructuring its debts. That wouldn't close them. That's where the story behind the story that gets a little inside baseball that people aren't talking about is that their largest investor is called Thai Union Group. They haven't sold their majority stakes yet, but their CEO said yesterday, quote, "Red Lobster is done and over with. We're just waiting for the sale to happen. And we do not expect any significant value." And by the way, if that happens, no, you won't have your Cheddar Bay biscuits in the frozen aisle anymore.
Rob, anybody, and Dawn. The Rob, anybody, and Dawn Show.